Hello, and welcome to the Psych in Business podcast, where we highlight the integration of psychology and psychological principles in the world of business and organizations. I'm your host, Dr. Ernest Wade. Okay, so I have a really great host for you today. Her name is Winnie Da Silva, and for over 25 years, Winnie has been a sought-after executive coach, leadership strategist, team builder, and business consultant. Winnie works with leaders and organizations at all levels in various stages of transformation using three levers: executive coaching, leadership development programs, and creating effective teams. Winnie also hosts a podcast called Transformative Leadership Conversations with Winnie Da Silva, featuring insightful discussions with extraordinary guests around their own leadership journeys. I've heard it. It's fantastic. You've got to check it out. Winnie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ernest, for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to talk with you.
Winnie, thank you so much for being here. I've been really excited to have you on the show ever since we had our initial discussion. And I've got to say, I'm really excited about your journey. I always start by asking people, tell us about your journey. But I know that you have such an interesting journey because you did some work with Arthur Anderson and have a background in social work. So tell us about your journey. How did you end up doing this kind of work?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to tell you about it. So I started out as a social worker, got my undergraduate and graduate degree in social work back to back, and then did a little bit of that in New York City, worked for a couple of not-for-profits, decided fairly quickly that it was not for me. I was living in New York, went to graduate school in New York. Actually, in between graduate school and actually getting some jobs, I actually traveled for about 6 months. So went to Europe, lived in India for 6 months. So anyway, did a bunch of that and then came back to New York, tried to do some social work. And then I moved back to Chicago, where I'm originally from. And I just didn't know what I wanted to do. I was like, I don't know. Maybe I want to be a recruiter. Or maybe I want to do marketing. I mean, I didn't know. So I was like just talking to people. And I just said, you know, let me just do some informational interviews and just talk to people. And so I ended up talking to someone at Arthur Anderson Business Consulting. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a recruiter because I thought, well, what does she do? And as I was talking to her, she just said, I've got the perfect job for you. And it was a training coordinator job within the business consulting practice at Arthur Anderson. I was actually talking to an Accenture woman. And I never could have conceived of that, thought of that myself, really. Yeah. So I ended up being a training coordinator, and then I was a training director, and then I was like, I want to do consulting. So then I moved into their change management consulting practice, which I thought was a great fit because having been in social work and having done some training actually as in these not-for-profit organizations as a social worker, change management really made sense to me because, you know, when you think about social work, you think about people changing, right? Yeah. So did that, was there until Arthur Anderson died. And so I was there until the end. And then, what I did is I went to go work for one of our clients. Mm-hmm. So I did a huge program with one of our clients at Arthur Anderson, and then they brought me in to run basically one of the programs that I helped them think about developing, which was great. So I was their head of learning and development. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, there's a pattern here, like helping change people and change businesses and then learning. So those are kind of the core tenets, I think, of what I do and what I enjoy doing. So was at Bovis Unlease, a construction company here in New York City, for about 3 years. And then I had my first child and I was like, you know what, this is not something I want to be doing all my life in terms of traveling and, you know, having a very rigid work schedule. And all of that. So I decided to start my own business. And it was a little bit like jumping off the cliff because my husband was in a startup. I was kind of the primary, you know, moneymaker. And I had two job offers, one of which was offering me $50,000 more than I was making then. So not only did I quit a job, I turned down those two job offers.
Wow.
And I just started, you know, doing my thing. Now I got really lucky because the company I was working for hired me back to do a bunch of the stuff I was already doing. So it was a nice way to
consulting
start
for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a nice way. So yeah. So almost 18 years later, I'm doing what you just talked about, right? Which is coaching, leadership development and training, and then team development work. So just in my experience in people, leadership, learning, and really focusing on leaders, you know, as it relates to all those things. That's kind of how I got to where I am now.
See, this is what I think is always so fascinating with people like you who have such a rich background of different experiences, right? Because I think you bring all of those to bear in the work that you do. And so you've been through all of these different transformations yourself. And so now that's what you do. You help other people and organizations in their transformation. And you have that richness of experience to bring to bear with you there. I want to ask you a little bit about a little bit more about the work that you do, because one of the things that you said is that you integrate people, change, and learning techniques. So tell us about that. Tell us how you do that and how that shows in the work that you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, when I first started doing what I do, I mean, my oldest daughter is in college, and I tell her, like, you're going to college to learn how to write and speak and all that. But you're going to have like maybe 10 jobs in your life. And one of those jobs probably doesn't exist right now, at least one, right?
Yeah.
And I think you definitely would have said the same thing about what I'm doing now when I started college, right? And when I first started working for myself, and even when I was working for Arthur Andersen, I kind of hid the fact that I had a background in social work. And now when I mention it, people really love that and they see the value. So I think that's really interesting.
So why did you hide that? Why did you feel like you needed to hide that earlier on?
Because I was making a big transition from literally working with like, you know, crack kids in the South Bronx to like working in a boardroom with a CEO. That's a big jump, you know? But yet that really informs the way I can help my clients. I mean, kind of to this last question you asked. In fact, I was just telling a client of mine, I've been working with this client. He works at a private equity firm. He just got promoted. I've been working with him for 5 years. He just got promoted to partner. And one of the things that I told him just in my last session with him was that one of the things that you want to do when you're transitioning into a new role is just imagining yourself stepping into that new role. Maybe not fully as yourself, but you're bringing yourself with you, but you're kind of like almost role-playing a little bit. Because I did that, you know, when I was at Arthur Andersen and I was meeting CEOs and I was like going into a boardroom meeting with clients, I kind of, and this is where another part of my background comes into play, which is I did a lot of acting when I was in high school and college. And, you know, and so it's not like, make it till you fake it. I mean, fake it till you make it. It's more like I'm bringing something into that role. I'm not coming with nothing,
but
I'm also imagining what I could be if I were in that role and I was playing that role. And you focus on that. And then the more you imagine that and you imagine it going well and you imagine engaging with people in that role, the more you kind of can embrace that in terms of who you are and what you bring.
Yeah, I mean, that makes so much sense. And I've said this before in terms of coaching and things like athletics. The coaches tell you all the time, imagine yourself performing the activity, see yourself taking the shot, you know, see yourself running the race, envision yourself happening it, because there's a biochemistry to this, right? If you can see yourself being successful, it allows you to actually believe it's possible, which actually makes it more easier for you to be successful. So it's the same thing that you're talking about here.
Yeah. And the other thing that's interesting, I'm really bad at remembering why I know this, but the other thing that happens to our brain is that our brain thinks we've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like as if we're doing it a second or third time when we're really doing it for the first. And that just gives us a big head, like a levels up in terms of our ability to perform at the level we want to, because we're kind of tricking ourselves into thinking we've already done this before. And that gives us, it makes us relax and it helps us perform better.
Yeah, I think that's, you're absolutely right there. There's biology to that, right? And I think this is a great segue to the other thing I wanted to ask you about. One of the things that you talk about is understanding how the narratives we tell ourselves, you know, how that impacts us. So talk to us about why that's important and how that works.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I have a colleague, Peter Axelson, who I've done a bunch with my podcast on and done a bunch of work over the last 10 years with. And one of the sessions, training programs that he created that I did with him is this whole idea that our story, So the story that we tell ourselves, either mm-hmm. about ourselves, about other people, about mm-hmm. the way things are, right, the environment, or, you know, yeah. just how things are, that those stories heavily influence our behavior, the way we yeah. act, and therefore the results we get from that behavior, right? And so what happens with executives many times is that they, not everybody, but you kind of end up focusing on what results am I getting? Do I like it or not? Mm-hmm. And I want to change these results, right? But the thing is that you can't usually like sustainably change those results if you're not also looking at the behavior and the story behind it.
Yes.
So that's where that comes in, is really helping people dig a little bit deeper, unwind, you know, go back a bit to say, mm-hmm. what's sort of the root at which I'm getting these results? Mm-hmm. And thinking about that, because what might need to happen is that you might have to change your story in order to behave differently, in order yeah. to get a different result.
Yeah.
So, and we talk a lot about, and by the way, changing, you can imagine, you know, doing what you do in psychology, changing stories is really hard work. Mm-hmm. But if you can do it, it really has, again, has that sustainable difference that it can make in yeah. the way that you kind of show up in life.
Yeah, you know, I think, I'm not sure if this was you that we were talking about with earlier, Winnie, but one of the things about telling yourself the story, right? Your narrative is that you tell yourself this narrative, and very often you tell yourself, people are thinking about you in this way, and you start to believe it without even checking with them to yeah. see if that's real or not. That becomes your reality.
That's right. Exactly. And it can go both ways, right? It can be yeah. like you're assuming that they're thinking that, or you just think that, or you just think, well, you know, for example, you know, everybody works 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, I can't change that because that's what everyone does, right? Versus like, well, some people might do that, but I'm going to make a conscious choice to not work like that. And how might I behave differently? What might the results be? I don't know. Like, maybe I have to test things out and try it out. Do some experimentation. That's another thing that I talk with my clients about a lot, is experiment with things. Do some observations to see what new thing might work, what kind of the impact it is, mm-hmm. and then take a step back and say, and reevaluate. Did mm-hmm. that work? Did it not work? Should I try something else? So those are some things to think about. And then I think that fits well with your narrative, right? So what can you try out in terms of thinking, mm-hmm. behaving, and the results you get, and then doing some observation, try something new.
Yeah, I think this is really important when you're talking about actually talking about some of the tools and techniques that you can use to implement change, because it can be challenging to change your behavior, especially if you've been behaving a certain way for a very long time. So what yes. are some of those techniques that you use to help people change their behaviors? And if you have an example of how that's worked, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was kind of doing some reflecting before we were going to talk. And I was thinking, and I think we talked about this when we talked earlier, one of the big influences that I think social work had on me was this idea of systems theory, right? Mm-hmm. So that essentially that people are the products of the complex systems we find ourselves in, right?
Right.
Yeah. The environment, and you need to understand that and take that into consideration mm-hmm. when you think about like where you're at or where your client's at in terms of how you're being influenced. Mm-hmm. The other side of that, and yet you still need to take full responsibility for your own accountability in terms of how you're going to show up or how you're going to respond to those complex systems environments, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's helpful, because when working with clients, you know, you think about, well, what situation are you in? What's going on around you? Mm-hmm. And how might that be influencing you in terms of how you're behaving? But then always remembering you have a choice, right? What choices do you have? Mm-hmm. I think executives many times sort of, and of course, there's lots of people in the world that do not have a lot of choices. Yeah, let's be real, right?
Yeah.
But 99% of the people that I work with, they have a lot of choice, right? And yet even they think, maybe I don't have as much choice as I think. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it's like understanding the environment, taking that into consideration, mm-hmm. and at the same time, really being accountable to your own self and mm-hmm. how you're going to respond and what choices you have in terms of responding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so interesting in terms of tapping into yourself to determine what is the behavior that is appropriate in this setting, right? And making sure that you are adjusting your behavior appropriately. I want to ask you about one of the things that you mentioned earlier when you were telling us about your story, when you talked about, you know, you weren't finding that intrinsic that joy in the work that you were doing. And so you had to make some hard choices. And one of the things that you do is talk about helping others tap into the intrinsic motivation so that they can be effective in the work that they do. How do you, I know you were able to do it. How do you get other people to do it? Because it's not an easy thing to do, right? To give up a lot of money versus, you know, do what you enjoy. You know what I mean? How did you get that? How do you help people with that?
You know, it depends on where people are at and if they want help with it. I mean, that's kind of always the case, right?
Yeah, that's a great starting point though, right?
Yeah, right. You kind of have to start there. I mean, you know, one thing that's interesting about some of the clients that I work with, I mean, I'm working with people who have sort of done everything right their whole life. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, they've gotten the grades, you know, they've gotten straight A's, they went to all the good schools, they've gotten, you know, promoted. But at some point, that doesn't become enough. Mm-hmm. Or what happens, another thing that can happen is like, they don't know what they really want because they've always been doing things that other people want, you know?
Interesting.
And so that's where the work begins to kind of test out, like, do you really want to understand what you want? Mm-hmm. You know, like, do you really want to like look into that, right? And if you do, then let's look at that. And I think one of the things that can help is really, and I hate it when people do this with me. So I always try to like work with people on it, but like, you know, really reflect on the things that you enjoy, right? Mm-hmm. And what, you know, kind of like that typical thing.
Yeah.
But I find that we make a lot of assumptions about intrinsic motivation. And we think, well, because I'm in a private equity firm, you know, there can't be anything that's really intrinsically motivating here except for, you know, making money and getting promoted.
Yeah.
But that's not true. You mm-hmm. know, there's a lot of people that find intrinsic motivators in surprising places. Mm-hmm. So again, I think it's the conversation and delayering kind of where they're at to kind of get at that and understand it.
Yeah, and I can understand why that would be something scary for someone to do, right? Because you start to peel away at people's self-perceptions, especially if you've been doing things a specific way, and people start asking you the question, why do you do that? And you really have to sit down and think about that. That can be a risk, you know, it's a risk to take. And so I think you're right, definitely starting with, are people ready to take that step?
Yeah, because you're right. This whole idea of what motivates you mm-hmm. and what are your stories, right? What we're really talking about, you know, Ernest, is really identity.
Yes.
You know, like where is your identity? Where do you place your identity? And then, and how is that working for you? You know what I mean? Like, is that working the way that you're placing it?
Yeah.
Right. You know, and by the way, there's placing your identity in a couple of things, which is probably more healthy, right? Versus placing in one thing. But anyway, I just think that that's an interesting aspect of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with that. I think especially if you have your identity in just one thing, and then you start to find out, well, maybe this isn't what I want to be doing for the rest of my life, then it starts to shake your identity, right? And then you start to question some of your decisions. It can be a very challenging place. But on the other hand, if you can get through that, right, I think, and you can really find the things that motivate you intrinsically and align that with some of those extrinsic motivations you're getting in the workplace. I mean, that's the holy grail, right? That's where you want to be, right?
Yeah. And usually people, not everybody, but many times people are something they're doing, they enjoy. Mm-hmm. So usually we're not starting from zero. Sometimes it happens, you know, where they really make a left turn, maybe even to kind of what I did, but sometimes the opposite way, right? Going from business consulting to social work. I've seen that too. But usually people are doing something they enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it's really, in some ways, just stopping for a minute to take the time to reflect and think, mm-hmm. which is a thing that people just don't do. And that's another thing that I talk a lot to clients about. And not even just in the high concept topics we're talking about right now. I'm just talking about being strategic in your job, taking the time to think about that, right? But anyway, I think that's one of the resources that's short for many of us.
Yeah. And so Winnie, I know you made this jump yourself. What do you enjoy about this work, about the consulting work, helping other people? What is it that you enjoy about it?
I mean, I really enjoy really feeling like I'm impacting people's lives, you know, and that, you know, I think just the, you know, I really enjoy people seeing people change and learn. I mean, it's really the changing and the learning, and being able to make those pivots in their lives. It's incredibly satisfying, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's satisfying for them. I mean, they're excited, right? That they've had those insights, that they've had those moments of time in their life where it's like, wow, this is becoming really clear to me, or I'm now going down a path I wouldn't have gone down, or I wouldn't have gone down it the same way. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy helping people to be successful, whatever it is that they're doing, however it is that they want to, you know, like just help them to be successful. And it's when they're successful, that feeds me, you know, that brings me joy. Yeah. So I appreciate that, exactly what you're saying.
That's right.
Talking about enjoyment, I really enjoyed listening to your podcast. It was such, I really thought it was so insightful and so educational. Talk to us about how you got into that and what the podcast is about.
Sure. Yeah. So I got into it during the pandemic. So is that true for you too? I can't remember.
Not quite. I got mine a little bit afterwards.
A little bit afterwards. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So pandemic, you know, at the time I was working with a lot of clients in retail and hospitality. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had other clients too, but anyway, client work went
hard
down.
Hard time. Yeah.
Yeah. Hard time. Mm-hmm. And actually, aside from, you know, three kids being at home all the time, you know, it was kind of a welcome shift because I was working so much and traveling so much and all that.
Yeah.
And I'd always wanted to start a podcast, and I hadn't. And I thought, this is it. Like, this is the only time I'm going to start a podcast, when there's mm-hmm. a dip in, you know, being busy. So I did it. And it's so interesting because I learned a lot from doing it, because and this is how my clients are too. It's like, you get really ambitious about something you want to do and passionate, and you're like, I'm going to do it. And it's something you've never done. And then you get really mad at yourself, or you get like what I think is not imposter syndrome, but people call it that, where you get upset that you're not doing it as fast and as well as you thought you should.
Yeah.
And the reason you're not is because, guess what? You've never done it before.
Yeah. You're not an expert in this area. You know, give yourself some grace.
Exactly. So I learned that. I had to learn that myself. You know, I probably will have to learn it a couple more times. But yeah, I started in August and I launched in December, which is really a short period of time. But the whole time I was like, why isn't this going faster? But anyway, I just, at the time, it was really about like talking to leaders that I knew, that I worked with, or other people that I thought were really interesting, and really getting their stories out there in the world to people that wouldn't otherwise hear their story. Yeah. And I thought that was such a powerful way to like amplify this whole idea that we can all change, we can all learn, we can all grow.
Yeah.
And hearing from other people who have done it. So that's where it kind of started. I made a quick pit stop where this last season that's out right now, I partnered with my colleague, Peter Axelson, and the whole season is kind of like a masterclass around team development. Mm. So that's one of my areas of expertise, is like, how can teams come together and work really effectively together?
Yeah.
And now I'm starting on a whole kind of new path on the podcast, where I'm talking to clients again, talking, but also talking to experts on different topics each month around mm-hmm. leadership. So yeah. Sorry, that was a long answer, but anyway, that's kind of what the podcast is about. Fantastic.
I think that's an awesome, you know, I think the opportunity to share with others the knowledge and the experience that we have is really a privilege, and I appreciate any opportunity that we can do that, because I think there is such a wealth of knowledge that we have to offer. So I really appreciate that you're doing the podcast, and I think it's a really great podcast, and I encourage people to listen to it. So how do people get to the podcast? How do they listen to it? How do they get a hold of you if they want to continue the conversation or get your services?
Yeah, sure. So you can reach me on my website, which is at winniedasilva.com. So you can reach me on my website. You can reach me on LinkedIn, Winnie Da Silva. You can email me at winnie@winifred.org.
Awesome. And then the podcast, what?
Yeah. So the podcast, Transformative Leadership Conversations, like you said, you can get all my episodes on my podcast. You can also get it on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the places that you can get and listen to your favorite podcasts. So yeah.
And then Winnie, before I let you go, I always want to take advantage of the experts that we have in the show and ask, what's a tip or advice that you have for businesses, organization, leaders, employees? I mean, in this current business environment that we're in, any advice is helpful.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I would say, and this is really hard to do, is really figure out where you can have the biggest impact and maybe even have it be the most satisfying thing you do, right? So figuring out, you know, both of those. But really, it's about ruthlessly prioritizing. You know, I think that every business and every leader is being pulled in a lot of different directions for good reason, right? There's a lot of things that they should be doing.
Yeah.
At the same time, if you don't sort of prioritize, that doesn't mean you just do one thing, right? But it does mean that you know what's the most important thing that have the biggest impact.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on that and know that at the end of the quarter, at the end of the year or whatever, that you have at least done that thing.
Yeah.
That's what I
love that. And you know what? I think I probably need to use that for myself because there's just so many things that I want to do and I'm involved in. And so I need to ruthlessly prioritize. I love that phrase. I'm going to steal that from you. Ruthlessly prioritize.
Me too. I need to do that too. Actually, one book that I really love called Essentialism, by, I think it's Greg McKeown. I think that's his name. That's a great book to read. If you think about how to really prioritize, he does a good job of helping with that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Winnie, thank you so much again for coming on the show. This has been so much fun and so informative. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ernest. It's really been fun talking to you. I really appreciate you being on having me be on your show.
Awesome. Well, I will have to have you back because I know there were so many things we didn't get to. So I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
And to our listeners, thanks for listening. We hope you'll join us again next time.